This is the CPC Podcast, episode 13 for October 28th, 2018. Show me the money. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. This week on the show, Reverend Lance Jones fills our pulpit. Reverend Jones is an honorably retired member of the Presbytery of Arkansas. Central Press PB is the username you need to look for to find us on all your favorite social media apps. Now let's turn it over to Reverend Lance Jones.
There was an elderly man who was good at making money, but he just wouldn't spend any of it. What he would do, he had a poor wife, he would give the wife enough to pay for, you know, utilities and groceries, but that was about it. You can keep wearing the old clothes, you don't need new clothes. All the money that he saved, he got and put in a box, and he put it in bricks in the fireplace, hid it in these bricks in the fireplace, and he saved and he saved and he saved. Then one day he suffered a heart attack. And he lay in bed and he was dying. And he called his wife to him and he said, well, he told her actually about the box. She didn't know the box with the money was there. He said, I've got the money hidden in the box behind this brick in the fireplace. And she was happy because she was gonna maybe have a little money and, you know, and live a comfortable widowhood. But he continued, what I want you to do after I die is to take that box and put it on the windowsill by the attic window so I can grab it as I go up to heaven. Well, his wife had been happy to that point, and then he thought, oh gosh, same old George. But she loved him, so she did it. 2 hours later, he was dead. 3 days after the funeral, she was upstairs in the attic, and she was cleaning and dusting and whatnot. She happened to look over in the windowsill, and the box was still there. And so was all the money. She picked it up, and she held it to her heart, and she cried, oh, George, oh, George, oh, George, George, George. I knew I should have put it by the basement window. Takes a second, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, how many of you fantasized about being independently wealthy? We were working with the kids with that. What if you had even half the money of Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Donald Trump? What would you do? Now, I'm really showing my age here, but one of the TV series I really liked when I was a kid in the 50s was The Millionaire. Any of you remember The Millionaire? Good, 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 yes. Every week, a philanthropist named J. Bearsbury Tipton gave $1 million to somebody, but he gave it anonymously. It was to a person who was needed it or had done something special or something like that, and it was given to this person, but the only caveat was that the person would never know who gave it. And I really liked that show. I wish I could do that. I wish I had enough money to give like that. And to give it in total anonymity. There's a certain joy that you can have that is increased when you give God the glory for something like that. Give God the credit. Some people just don't know that joy, though. Some people only do things for show. Their heart and their soul is just not in it. All right, we're going back to the screen again. How many of you have seen the movie Jerry Maguire? Good, yeah, the younger folks all see Jerry Maguire. Tom Cruise, Cuba Gooding Jr. There was a memorable line from the movie. What was that line? Show me the money. It was about a football player and his agent, and they were throwing that line back and forth between each other. Show me the money. Even though there was a lot of talk about the money in that movie really was not about the money, was it? No, it was about heart and soul and respect and love and commitment. It was the difference between playing the game and doing it for show or giving your all, because that's where your heart is. Both of the characters in Jerry Maguire got to the point they were doing it just for show. Their hearts were no longer in it. They had done it so long that it had lost its freshness. They no longer had that drive. So they went through the motions, just going through the motions. What they both needed was a revival of sorts. There's a parallel between that motion picture and our passage today. Rich young man who comes to Jesus, he's probably a very likable guy. Scripture says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He could probably have been part of the inner circle. There might have been 13 instead of 12. His credentials were impeccable. He loved God. He was faithful to the commandments. Maybe as his youth or as a young man, he had made a commitment to love God with heart and soul. But that was a long time ago now. And even though he was faithful to all the commandments, there was still a barrier. There was a barrier there. Something was troubling his heart and his mind and keeping him separated from God. So he came to Jesus for help. Jesus looks at him, and Jesus knows right away. It's the money. His faith had gotten to the show stage. He just didn't feel it anymore. He was still faithful, but he didn't know why. It wasn't out of a sense of love for God so much as it was out of a sense of what he was supposed to do. He had forgotten why he was supposed to be good. Jesus saw more than just a good person. Jesus saw in this man the possibility of greatness. But Jesus also saw the barrier. The barrier. The barrier, of course, was what? In this case, it was the money. Money is a barrier for a lot of people. Money can be a barrier to faith and faithfulness, wealth, position, status, power. All these things can get in the way of becoming, of getting spiritual growth. And they become barriers, the money does, rather than it becomes a barrier rather than a tool. Now, money is not bad unless it becomes a barrier. Money is a good thing, but it's possible to pay too high a price for it, especially when it comes between us and God. And that's exactly what Jesus was pointing out about this young man. His problem really wasn't the money. His problem was that the money came first in his life, not God, and God never takes a back seat nor plays second fiddle. I read somewhere that Henry Ford had a young engineer working for him at the Ford plant many years ago now, and asked that young engineer what his ambition was in life. And the young man answered truthfully. He said, "I want to make all the money I can. I want to be rich, and I want to be rich as soon as possible." A couple days later, Ford came back to the young man with a glasses case. He gave him the glasses case, and the man took out the glasses, and Ford had taken out the glass lenses and had put in silver dollars instead. So he said, "Put these glasses on." So the young engineer did, and he said, "What do you see now?" And the young man said, "I can't see, I see nothing. The money blocks out everything." And Ford replied, "Maybe you should rethink that ambition of yours." That's what Jesus was asking this rich young man to do, to rethink his ambition, to rethink his position, to reprioritize his life. Strangely enough, his deficiency was in his abundance. His deficiency was in his abundance. The money was getting in the way of faith and faithfulness, and Jesus asked him to divest himself of that money and give it to the poor. Well, wow, were the disciples stung. Holy cow, that can't be right. No. The prevailing thought of the day was a prosperity theology. And in one sense, this is biblical. God blesses those who are faithful. The only problem is in the interpretation. Most folks then and now see blessing and wealth and power and a life without struggle as happening because we are blessed by God. We've been so good. God has blessed us with more of everything. And that's a popular theology still to this day. You can turn on the television and see a lot of think and grow rich kind of, that's not it exactly, but give to me and be rich. You know, you send $500 to this ministry and you'll be wealthy in just a short period of time. The pop theology of you give more, God gives you more. So by these thoughts, the wealthiest people in society have to be God's favorites. And this is what was in the mind of the disciples. But when this rich young man walked away and Jesus made the comment that, wow, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, this sent all the disciples in a tailspin. They had to rethink their whole theology. They had to begin to reprioritize their lives. What Jesus was asking for wasn't so much that the man give up his wealth, but rather an outward sign of inner change, inner commitment in that young man's heart and faith. A sign that a barrier had come down and that God was first. In this case, the money was the barrier, and what Jesus wanted of this young man was to follow him. And basically he was saying, show me that God comes first. Get rid of that money and show me that God comes first. Now we've got to be really careful here, because I don't believe Jesus' words as we find them here are directed at everyone. I do believe that the intent behind the words is for everyone, but I don't think Jesus wants every person in the world to sell all their goods and give to the poor. I had a brother-in-law named Stan. Stan died about, maybe 20 years ago now. If Stan walked into church today, you would be attracted to him. Tall, he had that West Tennessee accent that was low-key and friendly and very likable man. But Stan had problems in life. Late in his teen years, he developed manic depression. And then a little later, he developed an affinity for alcohol and drugs, which did not always mix very well, and went years and years with problems. Stan was a house painter and a good one. He could get jobs with no difficulty because of the quality of his work. But he'd work for a while, and then all of a sudden, he'd quit. No reason. For years, it was the alcohol and the drugs. But Stan admitted that he finally woke up on that, and with the help of God, he got over that addiction to drugs and booze. He could not escape manic depression so easily, though, and that stayed with him the rest of his life. But Stan really took seriously this passage from the Bible. All you had to do was come to Stan and say, Stan, I've got a daughter who's sick and needs to go to the hospital. I don't have any money. Could you lend me some? Stan would give every penny that he had to that person. He was a complete sucker about giving away. Or he'd go to the Salvation Army, where he wound up spending a lot of nights because he didn't keep enough money to take care of himself. He'd help there or help there, help with them. So Stan never beat manic depression, which kept coming back and gave him a lot of difficulties. But Stan never learned to take care of himself. Giving away all that he had was not helpful to him. It's not helpful to all of us. Stan was able to get over one barrier, that was the addiction to drugs and to booze, but he could not get over that problem with manic depression. He did cross an important barrier, though, and he was a very fine man. In each of our lives, there's a barrier of some nature in our relationship with God. Christ calls us to divest ourselves of this barrier, whatever it might be. And they may change. You know, could be one thing one day, one thing another day. Well, in a park one day, there are a bunch of excited children playing around the slide. And they're all having a good time, climbing up the slide, going down, except for one little boy. One little boy about 5 years old. It just seemed to be too much for him, you know, it's just too high, too, the slide looked too long. But the other kids, oh, you can do it, come on, you can do it, you know, come on, just come on. So finally, you could see a look of determination set on his face, and the little boy went to the slide and climbed up one step after another. He got to the top of the slide, and then he looked down. And when his young eyes saw how far down it was, his resolve just dissipated. It went away. He had come to the point of a momentous decision, and he couldn't do it. So slowly, you know, his little legs shaking, he went back down the slide. He just could not make that final step. Couldn't do it. And this passage we read today and talked about today is about decision-making and commitment and separation from God. It's wrapped around wealth and the rich young man's struggle. But at the same time, it calls to question the things, the attitude, the practices that we have in our own lives that keep us from a total commitment. I was talking earlier about how we're rationalizing hateful acts in America today. The more we hear it on radio or television or between each other, the more it becomes common to us and the more willing some folks are willing to do it. So we've got to make a decision not to speak these words and not to do these things. And we're all guilty. I'm guilty as any of you. Jesus doesn't want lives that are thoughtless and all show. Jesus wants lives that are his body and soul. This passage is about separation between us and God, and by giving up whatever that barrier is that causes the separation. But mostly it's about taking that last step, the step that shows that God is first in our lives. Like that little boy at the top of the slide, or like the rich young man, we all stand on the brink of a momentous decision. They both turned away, but we don't have to. Oh God, help us see the barriers in our relationship to you through Christ. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Lance Jones for filling our pulpit this week. Next week, Reverend Tim Reeves returns to our pulpit from First Presbyterian Church in Stuttgart, Arkansas. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please take a minute to subscribe. We are on Apple Podcasts, and we're on the Google Play Store. We're also on the Stitcher app. And please leave us a review. It helps people find us. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week.